welcome everybody to our service this morning. We, the music group, are leading this morning, and Alistair will be bringing us a message continuing his theme of praying the Psalms. Just for your information, our time together this morning will include songs that we will sing to our Lord God, prayers, some readings, and the message from Alistair. And there will be tea and coffee at the end of the service, I believe. Yes, excellent. Okay. We'll be taking a collection during the next song. Just get it out of the way. But don't feel that you have to put any money in. If you're not a regular attendee, don't worry about it. Just let the bags pass you by. The bags are for the church, for the work of the church, and the little pots are for our sponsored children. I think that's about it. Lovely. Okay, let's just open our time with our God in prayer. Lord, we just lift this time up to you now, and Lord, we come together just to praise your name. Lord, we're so glad to come together to encourage each other in walking in your way, Lord. And I pray that you would be amongst us, that you would meet with each one of us, just touch each one of us in a really personal way this morning. Amen. Oh, yeah, Vera, thank you.
We're going to begin by reading Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations, God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble, as the people of the God of Abraham, for the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Amen.
Morning, everybody. I'd just like to share something out of Streams in the Desert. And it's taken from John 7:38. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Some of us are troubled, wondering why the Holy Spirit doesn't fill us. The problem is that we have plenty coming in, but we are not giving out to others. If you will give the blessing you have received, planning your life around greater service and being a blessing to those around you, then you will quickly find that the Holy Spirit is with you. He will bestow blessings to you for service, giving you all he can, trust you to give away to others. No music is as heavenly as that by an Aeolian harp. It is a beautiful occurrence of nature, but it has a spiritual parallel. The harp is nothing but a wooden box with strings arranged in harmony, waiting to be touched by the unseen fingers of the wandering wind. As the breath of heaven floats over the strings, notes that are nearly divine float upon the air, as if a choir of angels were wandering about and touching the strings. In the same way, it is possible to keep our hearts so open to the touch of the Holy Spirit that we may play them as he chooses, while we quietly wait on the pathway of his service from days of heaven upon earth. When the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:4, they did not lease the upper room and stay there to hold holiness meetings. They were everywhere, preaching the gospel. Amen. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that this will just fill us, Lord, with encouragement, Lord, that you are waiting. Lord, your Holy Spirit is waiting, Lord, to just come amongst us all and just fill us, Lord. But Lord, we need to give and not just receive. And Lord, may we this morning, Lord, just receive what you are saying to us, Lord, through Alistair, Lord, what you've given him, the bread of life, Lord. It all stems back to, Lord, us giving out and preaching the gospel and just, Lord, just trying to bring souls, Lord, to a knowledge and of you. And so, Lord, this morning we just wait in expectancy, Lord, to wait on you and to see, Lord, what you need to show us, to say to us this morning. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, we just say we love you, we trust you, and, Lord, we are waiting, Lord, until that day, Lord, when you come in your glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you.
This Sunday is Expectancy Sunday, because it's the Sunday that comes after Ascension Day and before Pentecost, and we are expectant. We look forward. The disciples are told by Jesus, wait here, wait for the promise, wait for the Spirit, as Steph has so nicely put, that we must wait and expect the Holy Spirit. And then when we do receive the Holy Spirit, it's that giving out, being Jesus for others. Wonderful message. Okay, we're going to sing some songs now, and in the first song we'll take up the collection, if that's okay. Out to you, and you're gonna have to sing it, all right? In the blood is my delight, his eyes are fire, his face is light. Okay. The king of love is my delight, his eyes are fire, his face is light. First and last, the living one, his name is Jesus, and from his mouth. Shakes the earth, splits the ground, and yet this voice is life to me, the voice of Jesus, and I will sing my songs of love.
Such grace, I will never come down. And now I'll say my
Let's just give thanks. Thank you, Lord, that you give us so much. Your provision for us is abundant, Lord. We want for nothing. And that is just so good. Thank you. Thank you so much. And Lord, we give just a tiny fraction of what you have given us. And just make us generous, Lord. Just give us generous hearts with this. And Lord, these monies that have been collected this morning and those that are given electronically as well, Lord, we pray that they would be used for your kingdom, Lord, for your glory, for your people. Lord, we give it to you and we give it gladly. Amen. Let's carry on praising God.
Darkness, my God, that is who you are. in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. I worship you, you are here, working in this place, I worship you, I worship you.
Children like to go out now? Are they staying in? Lovely, the children are staying in.
Great.
And Brian's going to lead us in prayers now.
Right, good morning. Let's come before our God in prayer, should we? Father God, we come before you now and bring our prayers of praise and thanks. We praise you as the Most High God, creator of heaven and earth, name above all names. We praise you also as our Father, our friend, the faithful one, who is always available and ready whenever we call to you. And Jesus, We pray to you too, Son of the Most High, who is willing to become the once-off sacrifice for our sin, who brought us salvation, deliverance, healing and reconciliation with the Father, all of which we were so undeserving. And for this, we give you all our praise and thanks. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you, Spirit of God, as our earthly companion, bringing counsel and comfort. You, who is within us and around us, means that a touch of the divine is for all of us at all times. And Father, we bring before you those of our fellowship needing your touch at this time. You know all of them, their individual situations and their individual needs. We would specifically bring before you for your healing touch, your loving closeness, or whatever the individual need is for Jonathan Sturck, George and Kay Bayliss, William Thompson, Jill Bell, Louise Farry, Daphne Briley, Susie Stewart, Anne Rivers, Marna Llewellyn, Sue Gabrielson, and Seb Coppenhall. And it's great to see some of those folks here today. And I pray that the Lord is with you today and touching you today. We also pray for our church as it moves forward with the purchase of Oasis, that this is in line with your vision and your will for our church. Our prayer is that in the taking of ownership, you would go before and make it a smooth process without hindrance. And Lord, we would ask your blessing for this initiative, and that it would be part of seeing your kingdom come into Sandbach. We pray also for our pastor and his family as he moves towards retirement. Pray that the house move is in your hands and you will bring about a smooth transition for them. And we'd also seek your blessing for them as a family as they embark on this next phase of their journey. And Father, for our church, we pray also that you have already ordained the new pastor, the person who will have caught your vision for this church and will have the energy and courage to be able to take Sandbach Church to the next phase of its journey. And Father, we bring our nation before you now and ask your blessing on it. We ask your blessing and wisdom for our leaders. We pray that our leaders have something of your vision of how society should act. We pray that government policy should be for a just and fair society, with opportunity for all, and security in our homes and on our streets. And we look forward to an end of divisiveness, point scoring and blame game, but instead a government of truth and justice. And Father, on a wider front, we would ask that you would touch our world with your healing love and bring about a cessation of wars. In particular, we would ask that you would overrule in the Ukrainian conflict, soften hearts and bring about a just peace in that land. And we pray for those peace talks that are currently taking place, that they will bear fruit. And we remember also the conflicts in Gaza, Sudan, Yemen, Congo, and other areas that are suffering conflict, and ask it would overrule and bring peace to those areas. And finally, Father, for our beautiful world, your creation, we would pray that we would learn to cherish it more. And we would pray for your overruling in terms of this climate emergency. Let your wisdom flow to all those engaged in the process of trying to bring change about. I would just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Susie, do you want to open prayer? Yeah. Okay. Right, we'll have a time of open prayer. Now, if anyone wants to bring their prayers before the church, can be just single lines, single words, just pray as you feel led at this time. So just have a few minutes for just bring your prayers before the Lord if you wish. Thank you.
Because it was such a beautiful occasion to see really multitudes, particularly at bell time, multitudes of people coming through the door with lots of children too. And Lord, we just thank you for the way that people enjoy being there and hearing about you and doing craft work. And thank you, Lord, that we were also delighted by chocolate making, by smoothie, and by having lunch together too. So, Father God, we thank you that you are increasing in this work. And we thank you for Oasis as well. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, I thank you for the love and support, Lord, my church family, pastor, the music group, Lord. As you know, Lord, I would not have been able to cope so well with all that's going on. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I bring before you our local farming communities. We thank you, Lord, for those who work the land, provide food for each one of us. And Lord, I know that many have tilled the land, what has all been planted, but Lord, we do pray for gentle rain, that the crops may begin to really take root and grow, and that food for the coming winter season will be secure for the animals, for ourselves, and for the world in which we live. For all our farmers, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you for those prayers, the ones that were said and the ones that were unsaid. We pray that they will be answered in due time as you see fit. We just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you, Brian. Alistair will be preaching on, who is not doing a psalm. He's starting a new series, I Am the Bread of Life.
I apologise for my croaky voice before I start. It's the passage is entitled Jesus is the Bread of Life, and it's John 25-40, number 6. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures, to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. When they asked him, What must we do to get the works God requires? Jesus answered, The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, Always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those who have been given to me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Bless this words, Lord. I pray for Alistair, Lord, that he has some great insights into passages that I wouldn't even think about. So I just ask you to bless him and thank you for the love and preparation that he gives for his talks. In your name, amen.
Can we just get the lights, please? Thank you very much. Thank you. So thank you to Susie and musicians for leading us. Today we're beginning a new series, looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus. And these I Am sayings of Jesus tell us so many wonderful things about the person and the ministry of Jesus. As you heard in the Bible reading, today we're looking at our first I Am saying of Jesus. And it's these amazing words from John 6:35. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." I wonder if you've ever read Through the Looking Glass by Lewis Carroll. Alice is exactly 7.5 years old. And she's in conversation with the White Queen. And it goes like this. The White Queen said, "Now I'll give you something to believe. I'm just 101, 5 months and a day." "I can't believe that," said Alice. "Can't you?" the Queen said in a pitying tone. "Try again, draw a long breath, and shut your eyes." Alice laughed. "There's no use trying," she said. "One can't believe impossible things." "I dare say you haven't had much practice," said the Queen. "When I was your age, I always did it for 30 minutes a day. Why, sometimes I believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast." So Lewis Carroll is telling us something about the enigma of faith. So in the White Queen's world, faith is just a matter of trying harder, drawing a long breath, and shutting your eyes. Then you can believe 6 impossible things before breakfast. But faith in our world is not like that. Because drawing a long breath, shutting your eyes, and trying harder is not faith, it's fantasy. Like trying to believe 6 impossible things before breakfast. And yet when you stop and think about it, people do believe impossible things before breakfast. I mean, take Christians, for example. Have you ever stopped to think that what Christians believe is absolutely extraordinary? I mean, just stop and think for a minute. God sends his own dear son into the world. He lives a perfect life. He shares the most wonderful teaching. He performs extraordinary miracles. He lays down his life upon a cross. He's raised triumphantly from the dead to reign as Lord of life. He promises one day he's going to return in glory and majesty and power and bring history all to its fulfillment in eternity. Put everything right, make all things new, regenerate the entire universe. And he promises that those who come to him and ask him to forgive them and give them the grace to turn away from their sins and place their faith and trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord will receive salvation and eternal life. Talk about 6 impossible things to believe before breakfast. And when you stop and think about it, perhaps you're not surprised that people don't believe in Jesus. It's one of those impossible things before breakfast, isn't it? And you may have noticed from our Bible reading that we see some reasons why people don't believe in Jesus. Let me show you what I mean. Here's the first reason. The spirituality of the message of Jesus. So look what Jesus says. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Now, what has Jesus just done? He has just fed, talking about six impossible things to believe before breakfast, he has just fed 5,000 people with what? A boy's packed lunch. And it causes a real stir, doesn't it? After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Now, two things to remember here. First of all, remember the place. So this is Galilee. Galilee was a place where feelings of antipathy to the Romans ran very high. Galilee was a place notorious for violent uprisings against the Romans. Galilee's a place where they're always looking for the next charismatic leader who's going to deliver the people from oppression against the Romans. And now Jesus comes. And what's he just done? He's performed a miracle. What was it? Bread in the wilderness. Surely this is the prophet, just like Moses, who provided bread in the wilderness. What did he do? He led the people to freedom from slavery in Egypt. Remember the place. Remember the time. The time is Passover. What does Passover commemorate? Commemorates the time when God delivered the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt across the Red Sea to freedom. So it's a time of intense nationalistic fervour. So if you want to start a revolution, the best place to do it is Galilee, and the best time to do it is Passover. So it's not surprising, is it? The people want to make Jesus king by force. Surely this is the deliverer we've been waiting for. Surely this is the one who's going to set us free from oppression in Rome. Surely this is the one who can do miracles. Which is why, notice, that Jesus withdraws again to a mountain by himself. And it's why Jesus says those rather cryptic words. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And what Jesus is saying here to the Galileans is, look, what you Galileans have got to realize is there's two types of bread. There's the bread that nourishes your physical existence, and there's the bread that nourishes your spiritual existence. But the trouble with you Galileans is that you're just thinking about your physical existence. You saw the economic benefits of the miracle, and you're thinking about free food supply for life. You saw the political benefits of the miracle. You're just thinking about a deliverer who can set you free from the Roman oppressors. You might have seen the miracle, but you haven't seen the sign. You saw the miracle, but you've missed the spiritual significance of what happened. When I saw a huge crowd, I didn't just see empty stomachs. I saw empty souls. I saw people searching for something to satisfy that spiritual hunger that was deep within them. And my willingness to feed them physically is a sign. A sign of my willingness to feed them spiritually, to meet a much deeper need. And I guess all this reminds us that Jesus did not come to be a political messiah. Now, please don't get me wrong. Jesus had such a heart for the poorest and the marginalized and the oppressed. Of course he did. He had such a heart for a world that's just as economically deprived and socially divided and broken as our world. He never said that matters of economic justice and political freedom are unimportant. But he faced a world with a message that is unashamedly spiritual in its emphasis. And I wonder if the same thing happens today, because if you read on to the end of the chapter, do you know what happens in the end? People turn their backs on him. And I wonder if it's the same today. If I stand up here and say Jesus is the one who can sort out all your economic problems, all your political problems, all your social problems, people will flock to him. But because Jesus says that physical existence is less important than our eternal souls, that he is rejected. Why don't some people believe in Jesus? The spirituality of the message of Jesus. Here's another reason. Supernaturalism of the claims of Jesus. Sometimes we're so familiar with these words that we can almost sort of gloss over them, and they don't have the impact that perhaps they should. I mean, in six verses, 34 to 40, Jesus says, I, me, or my, 14 times. So normally, we would consider it bad manners, or narcissistic, or rude to speak about ourselves so much. Jesus is not in the least bit embarrassed about it. Just look at what he says, and it's so easy just to gloss over words like these. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he's given me, but raise them up at the last day. I mean, look at the extraordinary claims that Jesus is saying here. A divine origin. I have come down from heaven. I mean, if somebody said they teleported to Earth from Mars, it could hardly seem any less ridiculous, could it? I've come down from heaven. Divine origin. Divine mission. I've come to do the will of him who sent me. What is that divine mission? Something nice and respectable? Doctor? Social worker? Vicar? No, it's to lay down his life upon a cross so that those who follow him can be saved and raised up at the last day and everything can be put right. Divine mission, a divine ministry, our I am saying. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And one of the reasons that spiritual things are more important than physical things is that ultimately, physical things cannot satisfy the deep hunger within us. And we see that all around us in our broken world, don't we? Neil Simon, the American playwright, money brings some happiness, but after a certain point, it just brings more money. Arthur Schopenhauer, 19th century German philosopher. He looks like a 19th century German philosopher, doesn't he? Well-known saying, money is like seawater. The more a person drinks, the more thirsty they become. The same is true of fame. Jim Carrey, I think everyone should get rich and famous and do everything they dreamed of so they can see it's not the answer. The next car, the next gadget, the next holiday, the next house. It's like seawater. It's insatiable. It never quite satisfies you. Which is why perhaps we read in the book of Ecclesiastes that God has set eternity in the human heart. And if eternity is set in your heart, then no amount of physical things are ever going to satisfy that God-shaped hole inside you, which is precisely why Jesus declared, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So what Jesus is saying is, this supernatural bread you're searching for is staring you right in the face. It's me. I'm not just the giver, I'm the gift. And if you want your hunger satisfied, you need to come to me, the bread of life. But that was a bread that the Galileans just could not swallow, could they? We know Jesus. He's just a local lad. Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Divine origin, divine claims, divine ministry, that we know him. It's just Jesus, one of the local lads. So he's rejected. It's the same today, isn't it? If Jesus said that eternal life is a matter of giving to charity, plenty of people would be willing to do that. If Jesus said that eternal life is a matter of practicing yoga 3 times a day, people would bend over backwards to do that. If Jesus said that eternal life is a matter of getting involved with political issues and economic issues, justice issues, and all sorts of other things like that, there'd be no shortage of volunteers. But because Jesus says that eternal life is something you find when you find me, he's rejected. And people turn their backs on him. Why don't they believe in Jesus? The supernaturalism of the claims of Jesus. And finally, of course, there's the scandal of the cross of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. You can see where this is heading, can't you? Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So Jesus is using a rather gruesome metaphor here, isn't he? And what he's saying is, of course, the new spiritual life, the eternal life of which he's been talking about, will come through his death on the cross. He unpacks it a little bit, doesn't he? Verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I raise them up at the last day, verse 54. Verse 40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I'll raise them up at the last day. So in verse 54, Jesus is saying that eternal life is a matter of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. In verse 40, he says that eternal life is a matter of looking to the Son and believing in him. And it's a simple reminder, I guess, that Jesus is using symbolic language in verse 54. He's not talking about literally eating flesh and drinking blood. He's talking about spiritually participating in his life and his death. Eternal life is going to come through his death on the cross. It will not surprise you to learn from everything I have said so far that the Galileans just do not get it. And we have some sympathy with them, I'm sure. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Verse 60. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. It's a hard chapter, isn't it? Never mind a little bit of teaching here. This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? 6 impossible things to believe before breakfast yet again. But look what Jesus says. Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? In other words, if you are really struggling to grasp my symbolic language about the cross, how on earth are you going to cope with the real thing? How are you going to cope with the cross? How are you going to cope with the real thing? And of course, if Jesus spoke more plainly about the cross, people would have been even more offended. And wasn't that Paul's experience? Do you remember what he said when he was in Corinth? But we preach Christ crucified. What is it? Stumbling block to Jews. Foolishness to Gentiles. It's always been like that, hasn't it? To the unbelieving mind, the very idea of God dying on a cross. Ridiculous absurdity. A blasphemous obscenity. Another impossible thing to believe before breakfast. Of course, it wasn't Paul who is the originator of the message, is it? It's Jesus. This bread is my flesh, which I'll give for the life of the world. Three reasons why people don't believe in Jesus: the spirituality of the message of Jesus, the supernaturalism of the claims of Jesus, the scandal of the cross of Jesus. Talk about six impossible things to believe before breakfast. I mean, is it any wonder that faith is such an enigma? Is it any wonder that faith is such an enigma? Because the message of the cross is so distasteful to the materialist, isn't it? So incomprehensible to the rationalist. So offensive to just about everybody else. It's a wonder that anybody believes in Jesus. And yet, they do. Most of you do this morning. What's the answer then? Surely it's the grace of God, isn't it? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them by illuminating our minds, renewing our affections, liberating our wills. God, by his grace, enables us to embrace him by faith. It's a gift of God. For me, it's the only answer to the enigma of faith, why people believe in Jesus. It's the amazing grace of our God. And I think that ought to encourage us, because, you know, you share the good news of the Saviour with people around you. You tell your story, your testimony, your family, your friends, conversations at Welcome Bap or at Urban Saints, Tots, Messy Church. And yet sometimes people just walk away, unmoved and unresponsive. Be encouraged that people walked away from Jesus. The person of Jesus, the preaching of Jesus, just walked away. And yet Jesus took great comfort. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And I think it's also a great encouragement to those who are seeking Jesus. Because Jesus said, all those the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. So if we have some stirrings of faith in Jesus, some spiritual awakening, some interest in eternal life, be encouraged that God is at work to draw us to Jesus, the bread of life. As Jesus said, everyone who's heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. Faith is not an achievement we congratulate ourselves on. Faith is a gift for which we are so, so grateful. I love a story with a happy ending. It's with deep sadness that I finish this story with a very sad ending. Verse 66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back, no longer followed him. All that. You can imagine what they were thinking, can't you? We thought he was just the king we were looking for. Economic reform, political reform, social reform, a free food supply for life, freedom from oppression, a fantastic future. But what did we get? Some sort of spiritual claptrap about coming down from heaven. Didn't get it. Offensive gibberish about eating his flesh, drinking his blood. Didn't get that either. Pie in the sky when you die. Didn't get that either. Let's go home. And they walk away. Let's pray together. Father, we want to just come and thank you this morning for your amazing grace. Lord, when we think about the supernatural claims of Jesus, when we think about his ministry, his life, Lord, we know that apart from you giving us that precious gift of faith, there was no way we would ever embrace the Saviour. And yet we thank you so much that you open our eyes, you soften our hearts, you liberate our wills, and you enable us to embrace you by faith. So we do thank you, Father, for that gift of faith. And we do think particularly this morning of our family, our friends, our work colleagues, the people we're at school with, our neighbours, many people we're in contact with throughout the week. Lord, will you help us to share something of this good news of Jesus with them? May we take his light and his love to those around us. And Lord, we do pray that you will also be at work in their lives, and that you will work in their lives that they might embrace Jesus as the bread of life, knowing that whoever comes to him will never be hungry, and whoever believes in him will never be thirsty. And in his name we pray. Amen. So we are going to finish by singing, in a sense, some impossible things to believe, except by the grace of God. O Most High, King of the ages, great I am, God of wonders, by the blood you have redeemed us, led us through mighty waters, our strength, our song, our sure salvation.
Thank you.
And let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that in your love and mercy you're still calling sinners to repentance, calling the empty and the disillusioned to yourself as the bread of life, calling stray sheep to the fold, calling prodigal sons and daughters to come home, calling all who are weary and heavy laden to find rest, calling new disciples to follow you. And may we know you more clearly and love you more dearly and follow you more nearly day by day. Amen.